So one of the things I wanted to do for 2017, I've been thinking about this with Sports 360 for about a year and a half now. Richard Deitch does a national sports media podcast. It's very, very good. It's very instructive. And I think people are curious about what makes us tick, what the industry does. If we can get into a deep dive without getting ourselves fired, for some of us, and really where the industry is going, because there's so many people that are curious, say, about what it is we do or how to get involved in it. Whether it's young students, as I taught at ASU this last semester, or guys that are wanting to get out of being attorneys and doctors and all that in their 50s and 60s because they just want to have fun. Well, it's not all fun and games. It is a great industry to be in, from my view. The voices you're going to hear over the next year are very Arizona-based, very Arizona-centric. And I'm not going to sit here and look at my watch. You know, we'll do 20, 25 minutes. And if it goes longer than that or shorter than that, it's fine. And Jude LaCava, who I respect a great deal, I've known Jude since I was back in San Diego before coming to Arizona. When Jude left KTAR to go over to the TV side, I actually ended up being the guy that replaced him, which was not easy. And he joins us first and foremost, Silver Circle Award winner, which means 25 years of broadcasting. The Dorothy Foundation is something that I've always been impressed with Jude. And there's a lot about him that I really respect and admire. All that stuff up front. What concerns you most today about the industry that you and I are in?
Brad, I think the biggest concern is the advance of technology, the advance of social media comes with that a responsibility. And I might sound like that old school guy, but to me, it is so easy to retweet a fake news story. It is so easy to look at a rant on Facebook and think that maybe it's true, maybe it's not, and then have it go viral. I think we're living in an age now, it's a brave new world, if you will, where media is everywhere. If you have an iPhone, you're a member of the media, or you could be if you catch the right video, if you have the right body cam. But the issue with that is very simple: responsibility and accountability. You know, when you put your time in old media, and it's been old media, you are really forced to play by a certain area of rules: responsible reporting, fact checking, sourcing. In today's world, somebody could put out a fake tweet, somebody could put out something regarding an athlete, a member of the media, a coach, whatever the case may be, and it could take off like nobody's business, and it may have no basis in fact. So I think in some ways there's an advantage of the expanded technology of Twitter, of Facebook, of Instagram, and everything that goes with it. But yet with that is a looseness of what is responsible reporting. You can cite a variety of examples of things that are out there. But I think people still have to know that it's fact-based, that, you know, if you've worked in a marketplace for X amount of years, or if you've gone through the ranks of paying your dues, you understand the rules of engagement when it comes to reporting, responsible reporting. And that's my biggest concern in today's world. It could be an irate fan that is out to get a particular athlete and catches that athlete in a vulnerable position and wants that information out there. There are agendas out there. There are peculiar, I just don't like that person, and I'm right. going to try to, do them in via social media. So these are the things that as much, and having said that, now let's also keep in mind that we have more transparency. I think in more recent times when we've seen the body cam of Michael Floyd's arrest, I think that fans now have a better view of why the decision might have been made to cut him loose. That still could be somewhat subjective. But, you know, we all are in a position, and this is the real key here, of playing judge and jury before we have all the facts in. So there has to be greater care in our reporting, not just as journalists, but as fans and as everybody really is in some form of another connected to media.
So when you have a news, have you had your news director come down the hall and say, this is on social media, you need to be talking about it in your sportscast? Has it gotten to that point yet?
Yes, I think that the way the media works, and it's always been this case regarding any generation, is that we still have to appeal to that big chunk of demo, which is 18 to 35. And when you look at 18 to 35, it's a big chunk of it, of course, is the millennial generation. We have to talk their language, and their language is not necessarily appointment television anymore, news at 5, news at 10, news at 11. It's news when I want it on my iPhone. And obviously, I understand the logic, and it's important, and I think it's fun, and I think it also can be very informative and extremely useful. I'm not saying it should be you should disappear. So when you talk this language, though, you have to look at the responsibility that goes with it. I think there's a certain snarkiness by some that might put out something for the sake of their agenda. These are the things that go with it. Expanded media to me is everybody with an iPhone or an Android, whatever the case may be, that's in a position to catch a photograph, a piece of video, a conversation, and then it gets out there. But how real do we believe that it actually is?
Well, let me ask you this, though, Jude, because I think a news director coming down the hall and saying you should be talking about this, you've been around long enough to know what you should be and shouldn't be talking about. So you've got to empower the talent, one, from my view. Two, you yourself have embraced it. You do Facebook After Dark, which in this day and age of time crunch in the 10 o'clock news at 10 p.m. at night, you are actually able to go and expound on that. So you have embraced the technology. I'm just curious, was that a decision you made? Was that management saying, hey, let's do more of this? Because we know we're taking what once was 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and we're condensing it down, and you can have another platform. Walk us through that.
Well, it's that old line, everything new is old again. And to me, Sportsnet After Dark is really a variation of what we used to do in sports talk radio, and that is just have a conversation and interact with an audience. And I find that to be extremely enjoyable. But I will also tell you there's some things out there that jump over censorship that, you know, somebody might say something totally outrageous, totally over the top. But that's something you have to deal with. That's fine in that regard. I don't take that personally. But that is something that I wanted to really venture into, Brad, because I think it, you know, many times you could look at media and say, well, they're just unapproachable. You can't really get to them. They're just on TV or they're just on radio and they don't really take calls anymore. I think it's important to interact and to connect with what your viewing audience wants to interact with. That's the essence of where the good part of this business is going today. But also, I think you have to realize that when somebody comes in from left field and they say to you, you know, look, I've heard this such and such, and it may be a totally baseless rumor. If you react to it, do you add credibility to it? So it's a catch-22 in that regard. But no, this is something I wanted to venture into. I felt comfortable with this type of medium to say, hey, wouldn't this be fun? Let's do a really just a different form of talk radio with Facebook Live. But you get engaged and you do it, but you also have to be cautious. You know, there's times, I think there was a story regarding a potential trade for Eric Bledsoe about a year and a half ago, and I had some pretty good information that I believe was true, put it out there, and then some NBA people, somebody in Sacramento, just said, oh, this is just another, quote, TV guy that's just thrown out there to get recognized, when in fact there was a basis, in fact, in the story. So, you know, you could throw something out there on Twitter and somebody, you know, in Bismarck, North Dakota could say, well, you know, that's a, you know, go after you. And, you know, do I even know if this person's handle, Brad, is real? Or is this somebody hiding behind an anonymous handle that happens to be someone with a certain agenda that is going down this road? That's the uniqueness of what, you know, almost like a black hole of social media. You really don't know when it comes to the anonymity that goes with this technology.
What is the pressure of being Jude LaCava as a sports anchor on television through the years in Phoenix? What's the pressure you feel?
I'll tell you what the pressure is. It's funny you should mention that. I'm at an ASU basketball game, and I want to get out there and try to connect with what Bobby Hurley's doing. And here it is, wanting to catch a half, getting in my car, running across the parking lot, and then zipping back to the station to try to make the top of the 9 p.m. newscast, knowing that three Cardinal players have been named to the Pro Bowl, and also interacting with some of the Facebook, and doing this on a short margin of about a 20-minute window in terms of travel time, getting ready, getting this stuff up. I mean, I think it's even fat. We used to think that there was a lot on the plate 10, 15 years ago. It's even happening faster now. It's juggling the aspect of not just on-the-air reporting, but interacting with social media and the logistics of what you do and how you do it. There's more on your plate today. It's fun. Sometimes it can be very engaging. But if people only knew, you know, you're going through, you know, going on the I-10, trying to get back to the station, you haven't had dinner, you're trying to grab this, you're trying to grab that, and you're at the top of the newscast after, you know, you've watched a half of basketball. It's a challenge. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's a lot of pressure. But, you know, you try to keep pace. I think keeping pace at the speed of which media travels today is a challenge for most anybody who's trying to do it the right way.
When you go through your day, if you can take the viewer through your day, and let's just say it's a Wednesday, which this time of year means it's a Cardinal day, when does your day start with work? When does your day finish? And what does it look like? If you can give a couple minutes on that.
That's a great question. I mean, my day starts as soon as I turn on my iPhone, because there could be an injury, a trade, a DUI, there could be an investigation, there could be a new arena plan. So as soon as you turn your iPhone on, your day starts. Then you have to get on a couple of different social media sites or sports websites and just kind of peruse what's going on out there locally, nationally. And then, generally speaking, I try to get a little bit of a mini workout in, and then I get going with the day. And in a day like today, it's getting over to Cardinals practices as they try to get set for another game. It's getting content that you could use not only on the air but in social media, so you get out to practice. I think you still try to work the beat to where you're in the locker room, as you have done for many years, Brad, and you're talking to players and you're talking to coaches, and you're not only listening to them at the podium, but you're talking to them in the locker room. You have to get a sense of where a team spirit is at. You got to work the beat a little bit. Then it's zipping back to the station and organizing that sound, prioritizing your sports news of the day, what's happening locally, what's happening nationally.
Then is that about, Jude, is that about 2 o'clock? If you can give us, you know, you're
at a
practice.
Yeah, that's about, you know, yeah, exactly. That's about, you know, 1:15, 1:30. So now you're looking at some content there, and you're trying to determine, okay, what's your best angle of the day as you get set for your first newscast at 5 o'clock. But in the interim time, I think that, you know, if there's a serious injury, or if Tyrann Mathieu's back on the field, or if Carson Palmer's taking a day off, you're tweeting that out. You might even be doing something on Facebook as well. So that could be somewhat instant to that 1:30, 2 o'clock time frame. Then you get in and you break down all of the sound that you've acquired back at the station, and you start to sort out where you want to go with your sports cast and your reporting for the 5 and the 6. After that, you take a quick break and you look at grabbing some early dinner, and then you get back at it for the 9 and the 10. And again, that could be looking at a Suns game at a particular Wednesday evening. It could be looking at an ASU game, and you're keeping an eye on what's happening there. It could be something with Dan Marley out at GCU. So you're now looking at your next chapter of the evening, which is the current game coverage that you want to present in your 9 and your 10 o'clock. And then after you get finished up at about 10:30, I'm not saying every night, but at least once, twice a week, I'll do a sports night after dark version where I can actually interact with the fans. So you can see that it's, I'm not going to say 24/7, but you start relatively early in the morning. You kind of keep an eye on some things, and then you continue to march on throughout the day. I mean, an exciting part to it, because you can interact, and you might even get a question from a fan. What are you hearing about Matthew's comeback? Is he healthy enough to play? Or what's the latest with Fitz? Are there any rumors about his retirement? So you're kind of constantly connected to your iPhone. You're constantly really, you know, the way the technology has changed, it's a way to kind of in real time constantly throughout the day, and that'll carry you right through the evening. That's, you're tethered to it. You are constantly thinking, okay, Brad Cesmak had put out a tweet about a big recruit, a quarterback from Alabama, or somebody on a beat, you know, like Doug Haller could say, here's what's going on over here at ASU. And you're looking not just at what you're doing, but what other respected media outlets are doing as well.
Have you, we're talking with Jude LaCava. So Richard Sherman threatened Jim Moore, who's been in the media in Seattle for many, many years, threatened to have his credential revoked. He went back and apologized to him. I'm curious, through your years, have you had confrontations with athletes that you can talk about today?
Sure, yeah. And I don't think Tom Chambers would mind, because we're actually pretty good friends now. I think that towards the end of his career, we had a situation where he just wasn't putting up the numbers. I mean, Tom was a guy that was an exceptional player, the very first free agent that the Suns had signed, and really was part of the transformation of the drug scandal of 87 and then the turnaround of 88 with KJ and Chambers and drafting Dan Marley. And this goes back to the early 90s. Tom was just, quite frankly, not the Tom Chambers of old, and I had criticized him rather heavily on the air at KTAR. Well, I go out to a practice, and Tom, as he's been known to do, got right in my face and said, "Hey, man, I'm coming after you." I mean, it was a verbal confrontation, and you know, he's a legit 6'10", and I'm a legit 5'10". And this argument went on for 25 minutes straight into the locker room. This at this time they were practicing at Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and every member of the Suns, including KJ and Marley, were coming in. It was total silence. It was just Chambers and myself going at it. And it could have gone sideways in a split second. But I hung in there, and over about 25 minutes, we finally made our way out to the parking lot, which could have been an incident. He eventually calmed down, and I calmed down, and we came to a meeting of the minds, which was not all that easy to do back in Tom's playing days, and came to terms with the job that I have to do and the job that he's trying to do. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that happen along the way. That was one in particular that could have very, very easily gotten physical. But I have a lot of respect for Tom, who, by the way, I think is maybe the best local analyst in the business. He's very outspoken with a team that struggled for the last 6 years. I think he does an exceptional job, and I really respect his work. We're good friends now, and he's a member of the media, ironically.
I started with what concerns you most. I'm going to finish with what do you like most about the industry now?
You know, it's as demanding as it is, it's still exciting to be part of a winning campaign. You know, last year with the Cardinals to get to the NFC title, to be knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, there was an electricity in this town that we hadn't seen since Kurt Warner. And there's nothing like a winning NFL team. I think the other part of it is to see a Cardinals franchise that you know, and we've talked about this for years, a downtrodden kind of last stop franchise for many, many years, have the kind of success it has. The last 3 years before this year, I should point out, was a lot of fun. I like what Arians has done for the most part. This has been an off year, of course, but there's nothing more exciting when I look back, Brad, when you have those seasons, the 96 Sun Devils with Jake Plummer and Pat Tillman and that whole crew was fabulous. The 93 Suns with Charles Barkley and that run to a championship, losing to the Bulls. When you look at the 2001 World Series, that there's still something. When people say to me, is it worth coming up with a new arena or a new stadium? Well, that's when it is worth it. Although I do think the days of public funding are long gone when it comes to some of our local teams. They have to try to develop here in moving forward. So that's that part of it. When there's that magic in the air, I have to tell you, it's worth the ride. And I think that's when people really want to know everything and anything about their team and how they've won and how they've gone about their business to be successful. So that part of it still is enjoyable. I think interacting with the fans, trying to call out what is really going on when it comes to certain ownership groups in town, trying to assess and evaluate and give fans an insight into the reality of what the story is with an athlete, whether it be something as serious as the concussion issue in the NFL or brain trauma, to what's happening with some of these guys off the field. It's still electric to try to get it right and to inform the public that is so passionate about wanting to know more. So that part of it still is interesting and remains interesting.
There's much more I'd like to talk to you about down the road. I appreciate you being the first guest. Hopefully somebody listens to this. Thanks.
I appreciate it. I hope so too, man.
There's Jude LaCava. Jude LaCava, Silver Circle Award winner, 25 years of broadcasting in the Valley at Fox 10. Sports360AZ.com, media podcast with Brad Sussmat.